Today is Wednesday, August 26th. Welcome to the Tanya Friend Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends. Nathan Reed, how are you?
Doing okay, it's Nat.
Okay, but Nat, then we will call you Nat then, okay? And also with us is Wendell Sauls. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Tanya?
Well, thank you so very much for being here. And also with us is Clarence McGill. How are you?
Can't kill nothing, won't nothing die.
Oh, okay. All righty. You already on a roll. Okay. One of the Syracuse eight. You're still with fire. And also sitting behind the desk is our social media and roving correspondent, Antoinette Baylor. How are you?
I'm doing fine today.
Good. And working behind the scenes is Marcus Evans. And Jeremiah will be with us a little bit later. And Mr. Free. Okay. Thank you all for being here. We want our listeners to join the conversation. The phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number is 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at Tanya, 63. Move the thing so I can see the number, because I can't get it off my heart right here today. Okay. It's Tanya Free at 63975 to weigh in. We want to hear what you want to say, your opinions and comments. We do welcome. Before we get started, I want to extend our condolences to the situation that was happening in Roanoke today. It's very, very unfortunate. Just think, I mean, you are a reporter and a photographer, and while you are doing a story, and this was actually live, I mean, it is just unbelievable. You know, now every week we are reporting someone with a handgun, well, not even a handgun, just a shooting, and I just don't know what else to say. It is, you know, we need to focus on how to reform our gun laws opposed to focusing on the Trump drama. What do you think?
Well, as I was mentioning to you prior to being aired, that particular area is a tough area for black folks, the Roanoke area. And you know, if you know a person, the whole situation is very, very tragic. And who would even comprehend your son and daughter going to work? One was 24, I believe. One was 26, and they in a small town doing a very humble interview,
right?
And being killed. I mean, just it's so tragic. But on the other hand, we need to help folks, black folks particularly, because I understand the man was a black man.
Right. We saw it later, and it looks like he was black. Let me give you the name of the reporter, Allison Parker, and the photographer was Adams Ward. And it was a live interview at 6:45, and the suspect reportedly was a disgruntled employee. They have supposedly caught him, and he did shoot himself, but he did not die. And there was some sounds like some racial tension going on with the shooter, or the suspect rather, and the reporter and the photographer, from what I read. So
it's a tough area. It's based on the Confederate mindset to a certain extent, and I've gone out there many times for many years in reference to my employment, and it's just a tough area to work in.
I think it's a tough area, period. We were there this past weekend, and we saw Confederate flags all over the place, and I could feel the racial tension, and honestly, I couldn't get out of Roanoke quick enough. Nat, I understand you grew up there.
Yeah, I was a resident of Roanoke. I left in 73, so I was there for about 20 years. And just hearing these stories, I go back. My sister and my brother and my sister-in-law and most of my family still live there. So when I go home, I really don't see this.
But you say you only go home twice a year, though.
Probably twice a year, yes.
Okay.
But and looking at the TV and seeing what happened, I mean, it's just a travesty, it really is. But as far as gun control goes, I think that was the original question that you asked.
Right.
You know, at some point, somehow, we do need to make it very, very difficult for people to have firearms. Now, how do we do that? I know we're on the trail. There's a lot of things in place for that. But for this guy to, you know, get his hand on a firearm and do what he did, it's mind-boggling.
Well, that's when it's up to us, the voters, to shift the conversation to talk about gun control, because while we allowed Trump, and this morning he has not been able to take over the airwaves because of this story. But this will go away, and he'll be back in the media once again, and we'll be looking at more Trump drama. Why are we gravitate towards things that are not important opposed to the things that are important? Wendell, let me hear your opinion on this.
Well, thanks for having me, Tanya. Yes, this is a very disturbing event that has unfolded today down there in Roanoke. I spend a lot of time, you know, in my youth and young adult life with church organizations, going there a few times a year. And today I still have a lot of close friends that live there. And I haven't heard of the racial tension that you just spoke of. And I speak to, you know, these people quite often and, okay. You know, and don't hear from them and don't feel from them the racial, you know, tension that you just described. But this is a very sad event for someone to go to work and to be out there doing their job and someone just comes and murders them in cold blood like that. You know, that is something that's really hard to explain. But then again, you know, the first thing that people want to do is go political and start talking about the, you know, gun control. But I don't think I've seen a gun just pick itself up off a table and just go to anybody and just start firing. It had to be a person to do that.
Well, my thing is this. When I talk about gun control, I'm talking about background checks. I'm going to go as far as saying psychological testing. You know, we have to renew our driver's license every so often. Why is it that we cannot require some sort of law where you have to have a psychological background check as well as some sort of psychological testing? Could it be that if that was in place, we would take guns away from those persons or catch those persons that should not have guns? I mean, do you all think that would be, you know, that would help?
Well,
Clarence? Well, go ahead, Wendell.
Well, if you are a registered gun owner, you do have every 3 or 4 years, 5 years, something like that, to re-register.
That's re-register. So, I'm talking about doing background checks and adding psychological testing to, you know, the process.
So now you're talking about doing psychological testing to get a driver's license. You're talking about...
I didn't say driver's license. Yeah. I said gun.
Well,
I'm talking about
gun.
No. I was sitting there. I'm sorry. What I was saying was that you have to, when you get a driver's license, you're required to renew it, go in and renew it. Why is it that we cannot add to the process with regards to guns?
So now you want to add more restrictions than what they are already.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, now you're going against my Second Amendment rights and the purpose of it.
How was that?
So now you're trying to forcefully, the government, you want the government to forcefully not allow me to have access.
No, I said you couldn't have access. I'm saying that the process would be more in depth with psychological testing to see if there are anything in your background or in your psychological, thinking.
I mean, that's what
you do. That would give me information that perhaps you shouldn't have a gun. That's all I'm saying. Because usually what happens after this deal right here, we're already hearing you're going into his background, checking to see if he had any mental issues and that sort of thing. It's too late after then. You got two people dead. Clarence?
Well, gun control, you know, I used to be I used to hunt in upstate New York, and now I don't. So in terms of gun control, I'd like to see just something minor in terms of an evaluation check.
When you say evaluation, what do you mean?
Well, they can do a background check, which is very simple. And, you know, okay you for a gun if your background check is all right. That's not to say that you're going to, you know, access everybody who's got a problem, because, you know, these situations with this guy today, obviously he was a sick individual and he distorted the outcome of something that happened to him. But I just think a simple process, which has been very difficult to achieve, you know, can help. And just a delay for a few days. But, you know, I also want to go back to the Roanoke conversation about the folks not having problems in Roanoke, because I know Roanoke too. There are no executive black managers in general in the Roanoke area. that I know of, and I haven't been there in about a year, but I used to go there all the time. There's segregated housing. There's segregated golf courses. There's segregated churches. So, if we talk about not having this tragedy happen again, we got to start digging into the character of the city and of the area and of the state to try to change things. And until black folks get some respect from the employment environment, from, the retail environment, I have spoken many times on this show about, the power of our economic dollar and how we can control things if we, as a group, stop certain things. But so, my concern, I hear the gun control problem, but my concern is further than that, and it explores the actual depth of the character of the environment, and it's going to take a while to change that, but we have to address that because there are folks that, from a group-wise perspective, us black folks, that aren't enjoying all the niceties of the Roanoke area, and it's a beautiful area.
Okay. Let's go to the phone. Scotty?
Greetings, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not going to complain too much, Tanya. I do want to talk about something that you brought up. It's something that I've been researching over the weekend, talking about psychological testing. Mm-hmm. But where I'm differing from you is I'm looking at, let's do psychological testing to weed racists out, the employment environment. Okay. For example, I went to Harvard's website. I've been looking at empathy testing and racial empathy testing. Mm-hmm. And Harvard has an implicit bias test on their website where you can go and answer these questions, and it's supposed to determine whether or not you're a racist. But in the disclaimer part, they put an ethical disclaimer part. They said that tests like these should not be used to hire people, in the screening process, mm-hmm. and that it shouldn't be used to screen jurors, which the outcome of the Randall Carrick trial in Charlotte, North Carolina, is what got me looking at, whether we need to implement an implicit bias screening to pick jurors instead of the system that we have now that is rife with racism, and they have admitted it. The studies have shown it. And so while I will not go to the lengths that the shooter did, I wouldn't kill people, but I have been in that situation where, I felt like, not that I felt like, I knew I was being discriminated against on my job, right? And so, I mean, they even allowed this white guy that was, I was supervising, to threaten me bodily on my job, mm. did nothing, and then try to flip it around like I started it. When I went to the EEOC about this white supervisor on second shift being paid, I think she was making like $10,000 more than me, although I had more experience and more education, and my job performance was better than hers. I went to the EEOC. That's when I found out you can't claim racism when white women is involved because they got minority status. So I can understand the man's frustration, although I would not have went as far as he did. And so something what your other panelists was just testing on, I feel like it's unethical if we have reliable tests that can screen racists that we do not implement those tests. And he is saying that the woman who was killed had made racist statements to him,
right.
that the other guy
the
had filed a false complaint against him
right.
at HR. And, tell me a black person that hasn't worked in corporate America that hasn't experienced those same sort of things. So while I empathize with him, I am not going to condone what he did, but these are things we have to look at, man. Why do we have tests for racism, and then we're not going to use it and consider that unethical?
Right,
so
and you know something, if we're going to actually evaluate someone far as being racist or not, they need to start with the police department.
Exactly. And I wrote Harvard, the Harvard researchers who put together the implicit bias test, and I asked them, why would you consider, you know, putting this in the screening practice to be unethical? I think it's unethical not to use that tool if it's reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, police, jurors, you know, anybody that's going to be in a position where they have a lot of power over another individual's life, they need to be screened.
Right. And you know something? I'm going to be honest. I mean, being human, and I'm with you. I don't condone what this guy did. But being human, and like you said, all of us of African-American have at some point been pushed to the edge. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, what you was just saying, that's enough to push somebody to the edge. Like, you're like, okay, you got to do a whole lot of praying to keep yourself intact.
Right. And I didn't fight the dude because I didn't want to lose my job. You know, I didn't want to. Why am I going to fight this dude on my job? I just called my supervisor and told him, you know, that this dude wasn't staying at his workstation, that I found him wandering through the building. And then he threatened me when I told him he needed to get back to his workstation. And then for HR to flip it around on me like I started the confrontation, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I ended up losing my job because I would not sign a reprimand that was saying I started it. And so I was like, no, I'm not signing that. Fire me if you want to. I'll go draw unemployment.
Right. And just what's so painful is the fact that you can't get any justice. That's the
right.
That's the part that is even more painful. You can't get any justice. And when everybody flip things on you, I mean, that's even more difficult. Scotty, tell everybody when we listen to your show.
Please tune in to New Abolitionist Radio tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on blacktalkradionetwork.com. We discuss 21st century slavery and human trafficking right here in the United States.
Exactly.
Thank you.
What's going on? Thank you, Scotty. We appreciate it. We're going to go to Reggie. How are you, friend?
Hey, peace and blessings, Tanya. How you doing, my queen?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. No complaints.
Yeah. You know, to follow up with my main man, Scotty, is digging for the sense of justice. We have Negroes, again, who get in high places. Just look at the individual that they try to put as a judge, and not my words, that in the Richmond Free Press was, of course, another modern-day Clarence Thomas. See, you know, you had the Ward Conleys, the Thomas Sowells of the world that would sit up in here and try to brainwash you, and that's why I love Dr. Frances Cress Welton. I know you're familiar with her, that
mm-hmm.
queen.
Right.
See, if I'm going to go to the ISIS safe, and I know Scotty's smiling right now. And also my dear friend Bev Smith, who does a fantastic show. She told me to tell you how anyway. You know, you never feel strong, Tanya. Everybody knows Tanya Free. But what can I say? You know, I ride your coattail sometime. I say, hey, I'm rolling with Tanya. Oh, yeah, we know Tanya. That's cool. And the reason why I'm saying that, I'm joking, but...
Reggie, hold on just a minute. We got to take a break. Can you hold on a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll take a break and be right back.
God is able... God is able, God is able, and he won't fail. God is able, God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me who can make a mountain move out of my way? Who can make a miracle because of my faith? And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able. The sun can look at me, and who
he won't fail.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You get ready because the conversation will be hot and better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app available on Android, iPhone, iPad, and you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip again, and small behavioral health practices are working harder than ever. It's time for a new perspective. Healthcare commercial billing specialists can help you manage your practice, file your claims, and get you paid in record time. The first step is always the hardest. With HCBS Billing, we make it easy and simple for you to start. Thousands of providers are already getting paid on time. It's time you get paid, too. Sign up today at hcbsbilling.com or call us at 866-647-6267. That's 866-647-6267. 6267.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We're back. Go back to Reggie. Reggie, we're back, friend.
Yes, ma'am. Again, thank you so much. Well, what I'm saying, the power of networking. Now, some out there are so darn deep entrenched in the Democratic Party. Well, I would serve this platter up for them to digest. When the Supreme Court was replaced, President Obama went to Hispanics. Why? Because he wanted to get their vote. Second off, when the gays reached out for equality under marriage and also for equal privilege, they put them on in office. But yet, we as black people vote over 90 to 95% strong for President Obama. And we're told when they came to the Parent Plus loans that help HBCUs to sit down and be quiet so President Obama gets reelected for the second time. I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm sick and tired of up here trying to hold this president accountable so our neighbors can be better. I mean, we're sending billions of dollars overseas, but that money can be brought back to Michigan, Virginia, and when it comes to other different programs like procurement that we could use here. But right. Yet when we try to sit and hold this president accountable, you're being a troublemaker, or give the brother a break. I'm sorry, but we look at this now, look at Katrina. I mean, 10 years later, and it's still war zone down there.
You're right. Let me ask you this, Reggie. President Obama's almost out of office now, and like you said, we didn't hold him accountable like we should have. What do you think we should do for the upcoming 2016 presidential race?
Well, God bless the people who with Black Lives Matter. Just like Daniel Hamer, you're going to have to kick the door down. And for some of these so-called Democrat friends out there, and I know some of your friends, I don't give a darn if Ron Paul and the Koch brothers are bringing money to the table. I'm going to sit down and talk to them. I'm going to network them. I never forget when the late Mrs. King was set up in the box of the Bushes during the Republican convention. And it was then Jimmy Carter at her homegoing service said that she and her husband have both parties politically responsible. They have political capital. It's a dirty joke now when it comes to the black community, because when we try to hold people accountable, you got Negroes out here laughing, thinking it's a joke when you see one network with Republicans. Guess what? If they got the people out there that's declared a war, then I'm going to roll with them. Unlike the Jimmy Carter of the world and also Hillary Clinton, who turned it back. And by the way, I know you're busy, but hey, it was the one president, Bill Clinton, who apologized at the NAACP for putting out community conditions in with that unjust prison system.
I think you're right. You're right, Reggie. We need to hold both parties accountable. And I know Wendell, you like that.
Now, I'm just giving you 100, man. I can tell the Negroes telling me, talking about don't over the Republican Party. Well, guess what? It's amazing how I see all these European Democrats bragging about how many Republicans they have. But when the late Benny Lambert worked with a Republican person, he was vilified. Yeah, the chickens come home to roost, don't they?
Yeah, they do that. Reggie, tell everybody to listen to your show.
I'm sorry.
Tell everybody to listen to your show.
We're on high news right now, but it's from 11:45. I mean, yeah, from 11:45 to 1 every Saturday from 11:45 to 1. And we're going to have, hopefully, LeBron Kirkland on, who's the assistant coach with the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals. So he has a very interesting story to tell. And, of course, we are getting ready for HBCU.
There you go.
State defending CIAA champs. So we can be riding with the boys with the CIAA and my man down in North State, Coach Scott.
Okay, thank you so much. Enjoy your break.
I'm on your show, right, on the 12th, right?
Yes, sir.
September 12th.
Right, there you go. You are. You're on the radio show on September 12th.
Right.
We got you covered. Come on in.
I just wanted to be reminded. Thank you, Reggie.
Thank you, Reggie.
Yes, okay.
I got a text from Jim. Text that the shooter had been threatening the station since he was fired. That should have been a warning sign. I think that you were saying that he sent the manifesto and that they should have been following him, or somebody should have been, you know, checking him out at that point, that it may have prevented this incident this morning.
Right. And in any company, if there's a disgruntled employee, especially one who's been terminated, and that particular employee calls the office or calls the station, then there's a process in place for that. The bottom line is what we have here. We had two young people who went to work that morning who didn't make it home.
You're right. So. And you were saying something too, Clarence, during the break, that you know this will not be reported as a racial issue.
Well, I think what I was talking about is that most, and I agreed with one of your callers, that most black folks have problems with or have situations that warrant either the grievance process or the EEOC process or some type of process. And the numbers are so great, probably particularly in Virginia, but probably all over the country. I don't have the numbers in front of me. At one time I did. That the employment environment needs to deal with it.
Right.
Because as long as you deny it, and evidently in this particular situation, as you just mentioned, and I just found out that there was a manifesto sent to the employer. Yes, all you have to do is give that to the state police or your local police, and they will follow it. And this could have been avoided, obviously. Now, I don't know if that happened. There's a lot of information, obviously, that we don't know, that I don't know. So really, I can't speak on it. But if these were the facts, then the situation probably could have been avoided because the police or the law enforcement environment would have confronted that young man and dealt with it. So, I'm just saying that a lot of people, I'm one, I fought Arlington County. So, you know, we've all had situations, and I know a lot of people have had different situations with different employers, major employers, that you had to confront them. And you know, the outcomes aren't positive in terms of what's going on, and what happens results in situations like today.
Right, because we just read on the news that he shot himself, but now they're reporting that
he died.
Yeah, fatally wounded. So, like I said, I do not condone what this person did. But what Scotty was talking about, what you were talking about, we'll all have faced some sort of racial tension of some kind. And I think in the words of Grandmaster Flash, he was pushed to the edge. It's definitely pushed to the edge. So, you know, let's talk about another situation. And this one's a little pleasant. Three American heroes stopped an incident in France. And I commend them. It was Anthony Sadler, the brother that was involved in this, as well with Alex, I can't pronounce his last name, Scarlotto or something like that, and Spencer Stone. And they were recognized by world leaders for what they did, a terrorist with a gun on a passenger train in France. So, you know, we commend them for what they did, because a lot of times when we see things like this, we, you know, turn out, you know, and walk away. We turn our backs and walk away from it. But I commend them very much for what they did. And the media did an excellent job with covering the story, I believe. And because a lot of times we hear about things, and especially when African Americans are involved, you know, we get swept under the rug. So we commend this brother along with the other two gentlemen that helped out with this situation from being worse than it definitely could have been. I'm going to turn our attention to another story that is up in Oz, or was last week, with regards to Sean King, who is who was the prominent leader of the Black Lives Matter. And it came up, like Rachel Dolezal, as to whether or not he was African American. And it's unfortunate he had to put his personal business out on the street, you know, with the situation that, to me, I don't think, what's the big deal whether he's black, white, anything in between? I just don't understand why. Well, I do understand why we continue to question race. In my opinion, if he wanted to be black, let him be black. I mean, he's biracial. And, you know, I take it to be that the Breitbart, who went after the story, trying to redirect things, take attention from the efforts and everything that's going on with Black Lives Matter. But is it important, or does it really matter whether or not he's black or white? Wendell, you just itching to say something. Go ahead.
You actually think it was a redirection? You actually think it's redirection?
You don't think it was? What do you think it was?
I think it was a story just like the other female that
Rachel Dolezal?
Yeah, that's been saying that she black and come to find out, you know, she is not black. And now it's another.
Does it matter?
Well, it mattered because these people are proclaiming to be black Americans, doing, you know, with black, you know, movements and things of that nature. And they're out front, you know, trying to be the voice or the leader, but you're not exactly who you say you are. So, yes, that is important. Anybody else, you
if
know,
they're doing good work. Does it matter if they're black or white, and especially if they are trying to do things that represent us in our best interest?
It doesn't
what
matter.
Difference does it make? I mean,
it just judge me by your character. Right, I'd be anything you want to be. I'll call you anything you want. You want to be called Dr. Free? I'll call you Dr. Free. But judge me by your character. Who cares if you're black or white? That's America's thing. And this labelizing a label of different hues of the American public. My family is half black and half white. You see, I'm dark skinned. I'm darker than anybody in here. when I get out the car, the oil light comes on.
For years.
So when that happens, when you come to our family union, we a third white, a third black, and a third in the middle.
So you got some relatives that actually are white.
Absolutely, my stepbrothers and sisters I grew up with were white.
Here's my thing.
Renee and Timmy. I'm from a different environment. And, you know, I mentioned that in the book. But when I hear people talking about, well, you know, Rachel Dolezal, she's white, but she was, you know, a good leader of the NAACP. Well, let her leave.
Right, let her leave. Right, and I don't know why she had to resign or anything.
I don't understand.
White people have died for us, especially when you do not have people that are all black stepping up to the plate. What difference does it make?
This the issue right here.
Say, what color are you?
This the issue right here, Tanya. You have black people for years who complain that, if you love being white so much, why you go sit out in the sun all day to get brown to look like me? For years they've been saying that. For years they've been complaining about that.
And that's an ignorant statement.
That is an ignorant statement. And now to see leaders in the black organizations, they call themselves black, to find out that they are not black, now people again are saying, what, you're not proud of being white? Why are you trying to be something you're not? What difference does it make? It doesn't make a difference.
Can I say something?
Go ahead. It doesn't make a difference to me.
Okay. I'm with you, Tanya. If a person has a job to do and they have the credentials and they have the sincerity and they actually are doing the job, I mean, what does it matter?
Right. If nobody else stepped up to the plate that was black and he's doing good on our behalf or whatever behalf it is, what is the problem?
To me, there is no problem.
Okay.
But the issue is that...
You said there's a problem. You sound like there's a problem when you're talking.
No, there's not a problem with
me. You're confusing me a little bit.
But the issue is, the whole point of the matter is, if you're white, why... This is what people are saying. If you're white, why are you trying to cast yourself off as black?
He's biracial.
That's his business.
Like I said, I don't have a problem because in the pro-life fight that I'm into here in the state of Virginia, 90% of the pro-life leaders are white.
Okay.
So like you were saying, white people have died for black people, and it's still today. You go out to most of these organizations that help the black community, that help black organizations, 90% of them are white, and you ask the question, Where are all the black people?
Well, it wasn't like he tried to be black in order to do Black Lives Matter. In his mind, whatever it is, he prefers. He wants
just like the other lady,
right?
And her man, she's
whatever
black.
It is, they feel comfortable being. I mean, that's just like if you want to be. We talk about we accept what is his name, Caitlin or whatever it is, wants to be a woman opposed to being a man.
I don't care.
What difference does it make? I mean, so what? Be whatever it is you want to be.
I'm not going to date them, but I don't care.
Yeah, the issues here. I mean, we're really talking about the wrong
thing. We take
thing.
More of an issue with if a person wants to be black opposed to a person that wants to be a person a different gender. Why can't we just look at them both?
Because we want to confuse the mission.
Why can't you be whatever it is you want to be? If you want to be a man, you prefer to be a woman. If you're a man, prefer to be a woman. Vice versa. If you're black, you want to be. We even take issue if you have a black person that can pass for white.
What did Pope Francis say? Who are we to judge? Who am I to judge? And that's the quote.
Go ahead, Nat.
I'm just saying there are other issues involved.
Such as?
There really are. I mean, you got a person, like I said before, if he's doing the job, then, I mean, what's the issue? I mean, what's the problem?
Right. Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Let's read Trudy's research. Trudy said a lot of whites are in the struggle. And that's so true. That's so very true. So
it's actually more whites than blacks that's in the struggle.
No, I don't know about that.
Yes,
I don't know.
That's true.
I don't
know.
True. I have to do some research on that.
That's true. That's
okay,
true.
Okay, if we have a call, no, I'm not definitely going to take your word. That's how you would say. I'm not going to take your word.
That's true.
We're going to do some research and see if that is
the
actual.
What's the struggle
case.
Defined? How is that defined?
Whatever the struggle is, you decide that you want to get into and fight.
That's what I'm saying. What is the struggle?
Well,
you said whatever it is. What is
when
it?
I look at protesters, that's not what I see.
Is it civil disobedience? Is it civil?
And Baltimore, I look like more black people. Yes, you had some white folks in there, but I didn't see it overwhelmingly the other way. Wendell?
What you mean?
Okay, that's what I thought.
What you mean, the protest? Because the same ones that are protesting are the same ones that are still murdering and still got the snitches get stitches. So what difference does that make? Most people want to be out in front of the camera anyway just to be seen.
Okay, Wendy, I can't follow you on that one. I'm sorry. Okay, Trudy asks, is Scott Walker in the struggle? Oh, that's a good question. Go ahead, Wendy. This is for you, your boy.
Scott Walker is a presidential candidate.
That was not her question. She asked if he was in the struggle.
But who is Scott Walker?
Is he one of those that you're talking about that are overwhelmingly white in the struggle? Is he in the struggle? If so, tell me in what capacity.
Well, explain who Scott Walker is for the listening audience.
Scott Walker is one of the Republican presidential candidates.
I was trying to
candidate.
Explain that before Ms. Tanya Free cut me off. I got to lay the groundwork for the foundation.
Go ahead.
Yes, Scott Walker is a governor in Wisconsin who got elected, and he fought against the big union and the big corporation and big business down there in Wisconsin, and they tried to recall him. And he was able to win 3 elections in a 4-year period. Now he's running for president of the United States, and I campaigned for Scott Walker here in the state of Virginia.
Okay.
And just to answer the question, is Scott Walker in the struggle? Scott Walker is in the struggle to allow everybody to have the equal footing, you know, higher pay, you know, educational system to be on the equal playing field. They'll be able to, you know, you go to work and not be dictated to give your money away to organization or a position that you don't espouse to. So, yes, Scott Walker is in the struggle. And he had over 100,000 people, you know, at his capital. So, yes, Scott Walker is in a struggle.
Searching for the best in online black radio, then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24/7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona, We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Dinah Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Hello, friend. I'm Theron K. Cal, a.k.a. The Real Brother, inviting you to join me for The Real Brother Radio Show, weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on TheRealBrotherRadioNetwork.com. And don't forget to like us on The Real Brother Radio Show Facebook page, The Real Brother Radio Show, because the truth has value.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We're going to go straight to the phones. Our friend Ophelia from WMXP in Greenville, South Carolina. How are you, friend? You still there?
No,
Ophelia? Are you there? Okay. Call us back some kind of way. Our engineer lost you. Okay? You got to throw you on the bus, engineer.
Well, he's
Freak.
Fired. He's disgruntled.
I'm going to go back to Wendell. And you were saying that Scott Walker is in the struggle. And you gave me a real, you know, off-the-wall response. What struggle is that? I want you to be specific. That with regards to the African American, that issues according with regards to the African American community. See, what has he done?
See, that's the thing about
what is he speaking to?
That's the thing about conservative what? Republicans. We don't pin one group against another group. We don't put one group above another group. What we do is try to put out policies that's going to affect, that's going to positively
okay.
affect everybody
then
as a whole.
What policy is he going to put into effect, or what policy is he talking about that the African American community would be interested in or would change things as far as justice and equality in the African American community?
And see, that's the thing that we do. We put out policies. We put out the information. We put out different ideas than the liberal Democrats do, and we present that to the public and allow the public to decide what's best for them and their families instead of dictating and saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, come vote for us. No, that's pandering.
Okay, so he is not in the struggle. bottom line. Okay, let's go to the phones. Ophelia from WMXP in Greenville, South Carolina. How are you, friend?
Hanging in there. How about you?
I'm doing well. Not going to complain.
That's good. I'm not going to say it because it doesn't matter. It does matter. In fact, the only time it matters is when you do complain.
Oh, okay.
So we definitely want to encourage that. I want to respond to a couple of things. First of all, the only struggle that Scott Walker is engaged in as a more sophisticated Donald Trump is the white supremacist struggle to be Donald Trump. The notion that the Republicans aren't selling a bill of goods, they aren't saying what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, is naivete and a failure to appreciate the dog whistle code that is all around Republican as well as Democratic politics. Any black person who is associated with the Republican Party is not paying attention to what's going on in the real world. Even Armstrong Williams jumped ship on the Republicans. He picked a bad horse when he picked Barack Obama, but it was definitely a better one than John McCain. He should have rode with Cynthia McKinney. It would have shown better judgment. The second point that I wanted to make is that the whole thing about passing, white folks passing for black, of course, Barack Obama is a black passing for, a Kenyan American passing for black, because he definitely is not black, is that it's dishonest, it's deceptive. And there is not a soldier in the world who would be in a foxhole with someone who has lied about his or her identity. And like it or not, we are engaged in a life and death struggle. We are engaged in a war. And to have people involved in up close and personal, the affairs of on our side is like having been infiltrated by the police. There's no difference. He is an untrustworthy ally in a life-death struggle. Also, a part of the, an essential part of the Black Lives Matter movement is black people making decisions by, about, and for black people. Self-determination is the technical term. Black power is the colloquial term. And for a white person to interpose himself, you know, some white male, is the height of arrogance.
Well, let me say this. He's biracial.
He's not biracial. His father's white.
No, they said that his father's really black.
The picture that did you see the picture of the person that
right? They said on the birth certificate he has white, but his mother had an affair with a black man. His father is really black. But let me ask you this, huh?
And he was reared as a black person.
Yes, because he's biracial.
He was reared as a black person.
Oh, you said reared. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Life,
okay. I didn't hear what you. I didn't hear
are that
weird.
Of a black male, and the answer to the question is no. And in light of that fact, while it's true that the one drop theory still prevails in this society, the fact of the matter is that black is more cultural, social, political than it is biological in instances of this sort where there's a choice to be made. And we see that patently clear with Barack Obama and the fact that he does not, despite the fact that we drool all over him, does not identify with us. There is a distinct difference in being an African descendant from Africans enslaved in North America and any other African, much less whites. So, you know, we need to study and understand where we are and what's going on around us. There's a wonderful book, and I can't remember the name of the author, but it's called The Race Project, and it talks about the racial hierarchy in this country and how the descendants of Africans enslaved in North America are always at the bottom, and they're there. We are there for a very specific reason. So whether you're talking about Africans from the Caribbean, Africans from the continent, or Africans, second-generation Africans, continental Caribbean Africans born in the United States, there's a distinct difference in the custom. There's a distinct difference in the position in the order of things in this country. So when you have someone who has the option, or at least appears to have the option, then that option is something that we do not have, and therefore in our thinking and in our decision-making, even if we enjoy the greatest privilege, are clear that we do not have. And okay. So therefore, apart from just being a liar and thus untrustworthy.
Okay. Now tell everybody when we can catch your station.
What about what?
When we can listen to your show. Tune into
Listen, you know one thing? I don't even have a show. I'm so busy running a radio station, I don't have a particular show. And all I can say to people right now, we're our stream is down because the lightning struck our utility cabinet and blew out one of our barracks boxes.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope things get up and running once again real soon, okay?
Will do.
Thank you, friend. Thank you for calling. We got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. In a column written for the Washington Post, former civil rights activist Barbara Reynolds launches into petty attacks on the young protesters, lacing her words with stereotypes, suggesting that all we have seen on television is protesters with sagging pants and exposed underwear rioting in the streets. The sort of attacks Reynolds levies against the Black Lives Matter protesters confronting a systemic police violence are the kind of attacks you would expect from the likes of Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. The column gives the familiar whitewashed version of the 60s that has become mainstream because it largely excludes the groups and individuals who rejected Dr. King's call for nonviolent protests only. As writer Yvette Carnell of Breaking Brown wrote, for all King's respectability politics, he was still gunned down while wearing a suit and tie. The truth is, the vast majority of young people in urban areas during the 60s identified more with Malcolm X's message of freedom by any means necessary. And it was those young people, like Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, who founded the Black Panther Party for self-defense following the teachings of Malcolm X. Writing for Truth Out, Lorenzo St. Du Bois writes, "The Civil Rights Bill of 1964 is inseparable from the threat of riots. The Housing Bill of 1968, the most proactive civil rights legislation on the books, is a direct response to the riots that swept American cities after King was killed. Violence lingering on the outside often backed nonviolence during the civil rights movement. We could go into meetings and say, well, either deal with us or you will have Malcolm X coming into here," said SNCC organizer Gloria Richardson. They would just get historical. The police chief would say, oh no. If the civil rights generation of the 60s does not want to get behind the youth movement of the day to finish the job of securing freedom from systemic police terrorism, that is okay. No one is asking them for their endorsement. However, if they want to write attack pieces for the white press, then they have made themselves antagonists of today's youth movement. If Miss Reynolds' generation had truly finished the job of dispensing with institutional racism, the youth of today would not need to be in the streets protesting senseless killings by police. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. To support independent black media, go to blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 a.m. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-pack hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's Get Busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM 1450 AM.
Calling all dreadheads, are you tired of your locks being dry, limp, and weighed down? Do your locks have an odor or you have unbearable itchy scalp? Are your locks thinning or falling off? If so, you need to visit Dreadhead Studio, offering full-service lock maintenance, starter locks, kid services, weekly specials, and more. Try their online booking for your next appointment. For more information, call 804-601-8216. That's 804-601-8216. Or visit DreadheadStudio.com. Located at 133 East Belt Boulevard, Suite M in South Richmond.
This is Tanya Free. High blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes are reportedly the most common conditions that increase the risk of heart disease and stroke, especially in African Americans. The American Heart Association reminds us that we can improve our odds of preventing and beating these diseases by understanding the risk and taking steps to address them with regular checkups. Have you had your checkup lately? Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
Join Tanya Free and friends at TanyaFree.com.
Works out his own bag. Can you understand that? I can understand that. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Something sweet as a candy bar. That girl and me, that's what you are.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now.
Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010. Wendell and I were debating with regards to Scott Walker's response to the debate when they asked him about Black Lives Matter, and I read it last week and I don't have it on my computer now, but I am going to try to find it. And that response did not by any chance reflect that he was in the struggle. Now, you want to say that, you know, he didn't want to eliminate any particular group and that sort of thing, and I just asked you a simple question, whether or not he's in the struggle. And when they asked him about Black Lives Matter on during the debate, it did not reflect that he was in the struggle. Basically, he just said that more training for officers, and that was it. There was nothing about with regards to the movement, none of that. So anyway, I'm going to let you give you a chance to respond to Ophelia's comment with regards to Scott Walker.
Oh, well, with her comments, that is her views, and
Ophelia, I'm sorry.
It seems that when all else fails, the number one thing that, you know, they fall back on to any conservative is racist, don't care about nobody, and all about money. Those are the things that, you know, they fall back on, especially when you can't go and point to a policy to support your claim. And that's holds true with Scott Walker as well. That's why the media today, they don't go after him like they do other, you know, candidates in the race right now, because they can't go to specific policy to support their claim of Scott Walker not winning, not being productive.
Well, he's not winning. He's like what, number 6 or 7 or whatever. I mean, he may even be on the radar at this point. Donald Trump, I believe, is leading for the mere fact that he's exposing a lot of what Scott Walker and other Republicans, their talking points, all of that. Which I know you're going to disagree with that, but the truth of the matter.
Can I have a question? When you say in the struggle, okay, what do you mean in the struggle? I'm talking to Tanya.
Oh. Okay, when I say in the struggle, I'm talking about fighting for justice and equality with regards to the African-American community. That's what I'm talking about, that struggle. Trying to bring about justice. You don't think that that's a problem? Nat?
No, I just wanted to know what you meant.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the struggle that we are fighting right now. Do you all don't think that's an issue? I mean, just think about it. You go out here and you don't feel there's a target on your back? There's racial profiling going
personally,
on?
Personally, me,
we talked about Roanoke and everything. You all didn't see the issue.
In my entire life, I never felt it. You know, I did almost 18 years in the military. And those that tried to hurt me the most in the military were black in the military.
Okay.
My black leaders in the military. I had a first sergeant who gave me a hard time because I was a, you know, one of the hard soldiers, you know, knucklehead soldiers. But when he left, he came to me and he shook my hand and told me it was never personal. It was always business. And I thought about that and said, you know, I did not think about how, you know, the positions that I put him in, for him having to stand in front of the company commander and had the company commander question him about why is his soldier always in trouble, always doing something. So, but besides that, and in the military, out here in civilian life, I never felt it.
Okay.
Never.
Okay. Nat, you don't think there's racism in this country? I mean, you don't think that we're fighting a battle of injustice in this country with regards to African Americans?
Well, sure it is. Okay. I mean, I was in corporate America.
You don't think it's a struggle?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was in corporate America for a long time, and I saw it. I was involved in it. I saw it. I think we in this country have come a long way, but we got a long way to go. So when you ask, you know, is there discrimination? If you take a black person and a white person and you put them in the same position and you take a look at the criteria involved, is there discrimination? Sure it is. That's just being honest.
And you don't feel like a target
each and every day as you walk out here in America? I mean, not even being in corporate America.
Do I feel like I'm a target? Somewhat, yes.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's the struggle that we are trying to overcome. So, and that's the struggle. I'm asking you, which candidate is involved in that struggle, Wendell?
Well,
whether Scott Walker's. I mean, because they want our vote, and if we just don't demand what it is we want, the changes we want, what's the purpose?
Just like Scott Walker down in Wisconsin, when he got elected, and he fought the unions. He didn't fight the unions for white people. He didn't fight the union for Hispanic people. He didn't fight the union for black people. He fought the unions for everybody.
So what you're saying, all lives matter. That's what you're saying. And you are not acknowledging the issues with regards to Black Lives Matter. That's, to me, that's a smack in the face. That's what you're saying, Wendell.
This is a nation issue that we all, you know, we are, you know, trying to deal with and trying to make better. Now, when you try to point out one group over another group, what you're doing is causing division. And President Obama has done an excellent job of adding that.
Okay, we have to agree to disagree. Jim says Republicans have no problem with telling women what to do with their bodies.
So, okay, thanks for that, Jim. As one in the pro-life movement myself, I'm a public relations person for East End Pregnancy Test and Help Center. I just had to put a plug in there for us. The ones who are telling women what to do with their bodies are the Democrats, because they telling women, go get an abortion. But the pro-life movement, we're given a lot of choices and a lot of options.
They're
besides
not telling people
abortion.
To go get abortions.
Well, what is Planned Parenthood?
They give you an option.
There is no option. Okay. Planned Parenthood is no option. The only option Planned Parenthood has is abortion. That's not an option.
Jump in here anytime.
That is not an option.
Well, you know, I'm hearing a lot of talk. And, you know, as you know, I like action. So until we start dealing with the problems in terms of an aggressive manner, you know, I've said many times that we could end racism in a short period of time if we all got together in America, all the black people said, for example, don't go to Walmart for a month. Go to everywhere else, but don't go to Walmart. If we can withstand of what we are going to sacrifice in terms of what Walmart would do, because they'll initially say, well, if you do that, all the black people lose their jobs they're working at
and
Walmart.
Hispanics, too.
But if we can withstand that and hold that true for a month, Walmart will have all types of black managers 30 days later. So I'm saying that to say that we need to develop, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, we need to develop a strategy of aggressive action. And that aggressive action has to be now. Any good planner, any good person that deals with, you know, developing a plan, you know, you're going to have a strategy, you're going to have objectives, you're going to have measurements. We need to develop a plan of action, whether it's, you know, if there's a political, this whole political campaign is a year and a half away. Don't you? That's by design that all this talk is a year and a half away. Who had a conversation and debates a year and a half away from election? That's crazy. But we are, you know, falling into it. I'd rather deal with an action, you know, with white, with black, with Latinos, but something in a comprehensive manner to impact change. And that's where I'm at. The political talk is lovely. Y'all are just doing a fine job. You're verbalizing many, many concepts.
Frustrations.
But the fact of the matter is that, you know, two people died today, a tragic death, and it shouldn't happen. We need to move forward with a plan of action, an action plan to actually impact whatever we need to impact. And my thing is to impact our spending power, to show our spending power how strong it is. And with a short period of time, that will make different changes, because America will say, wow, they finally understand the power of their dollar.
I agree with you there, for the mere fact that I've been listening to all the candidates on both sides. And, you know, when I'm listening to the news, a lot of conversation, they're gearing towards trying to get the Hispanic vote. I don't think I've heard anybody say the black vote.
Because it's all going to the Democrats. Everybody know that.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Everybody knows
that. You're African American, right, or you're not? You said all. You count yourself another race. Okay, that's what I thought.
Everybody knows, majority of the black people going to vote for Democrat anyway.
Okay, whether they do or not, still we do not want our vote taken for granted.
But you keep giving it for granted.
And I agree with you. We don't want our vote taken for granted. And the reason that's done is what you just said. We do not put our money where our mouths are, and people take us for granted. I was in the store looking at the label of something, and in addition to being in English, it's also, you know, there in Spanish. I'm like, wow, they have made a major impact that now you see things even in Spanish now. I wonder if we spoke another language, would it be on the label of something?
Well, Latinos feel that this is their country, that it was taken from them during the many wars in the past. And they grew up in their family saying, take your country back, which is this country. So, you know, there is some cultural history regarding the Latino population and, of course, our population, the black population. So, you know, it's all, you know, significant. But, again, you know,
But they're recognized, and, like, should we not be recognized as well? I don't care.
When you deal with Florida,
should we be recognized as well? We help build this
Florida,
country. Florida, well. I mean, I'm
Texas, Arizona, California, 50% Latino. So it's going to be.
You're saying
it's going to be. It's going to be in Spanish.
Percentage, still, we need to be recognized and accounted for as well.
And that's my point. With an action. On an action plan, we could be recognized overnight.
The prominent leaders are the ones, the prominent black leaders, they're the ones that's pushing the whole division, us against
them.
That's kind
of general there, my brother.
Many of your black prominent leaders,
You're listening to AM/FM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend. Huh? The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. That's 800-918-7169.
Real Brother here. Play resumes. I wanted to invite the friends to join me for the Real Brother Radio Show. Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on the Real Brother Radio Show Network. And you can always like us on the Real Brother Radio Show Facebook page. That's the Real Brother Radio Show on the Real Brother Radio Network.com. Because the truth has value. Oh, I like that.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip. Dreading the start of the new school year? A stressful time for parents of children with behavioral challenges. Call the Metropolitan Day School. Don't go through another year of failing grades, phone calls from the principal, and frequent suspensions. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Licensed and accredited. 804-321-2595. Financial assistance available. Start the school year off right at the Metropolitan Day School where eagles soar. Don't wait. Call Ms. Thomas today at 804-321-2595.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We want the truth, and no more lies.
We are going to go to Antoinette, our roving correspondent, to read some of the messages coming in on Facebook and Twitter. Antoinette?
Okay. Real Brother had tweeted, Walmart has increased its minimum wage use. Another example. Black abortions are down 80% since Obama's election.
Okay.
Well, all I wanted to mention is that when, in regards to my comment in dealing with economic stability and controlling our own dollar, I mentioned Walmart. I said as an example. You know, I'm not sure what Walmart is doing, but I could have said Exxon or Colgate or Subway or,
business,
or Burger
that's
King.
What you meant,
I was
in general.
Giving a sample, an example, to make my point.
And also, too, this country belonged to the Native Americans. We talked about that.
Right. The Native Americans also are being treated horribly. I've been in reservations in upstate New York and out west, and the squalor at times is just beyond belief.
Right. Well, the thing is this, what you're saying is true. We do need to pull together, and there needs to be a boycott. And thing is this, it's sad if we think we're going to make a difference or bring about justice and equality without a sacrifice. Our ancestors, you know, they sacrificed life sometime. They sacrificed doing without. All of that. We cannot make a difference or bring about a change unless there is a sacrifice. And I think for us to boycott and to do without, it is putting our money where our mouths are. In addition to that, it's giving us power with our dollars. And we cannot make, I think it's a simple sacrifice. Like you said, boycott a particular business, whatever it is. One thing I like about the Black Lives Matter movement is that there's young people, and they look like they're ready to step up to the plate. And if it means to be a little radical, so be it. And I think, you know, Dr. King, and we talked about Julian Bond, how they used to do sit-ins, get sprayed with hoses, going to jail, all of that. So, you know, we got to step up to the plate a little bit more. We're going to go to the line. James, how are you, friend?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I just hope my phone don't get disconnected, but I just kind of came in on the last little few minutes of the show, and I was listening to the brother that you had on, and I kind of agree with it. Some of the things that he was saying, but one thing I wanted to mention was why isn't it a Black Businesses Matter? I mean, I understand about Black Lives Matter, but we can boycott all we want to, and we can boycott all across the country. But what about when we stop boycotting and we start going back to these same white-owned businesses? You still be spending your money the same place you were spending your money at before you started boycotting. So I say we need to start our own businesses, our own Walmarts, Black-owned by us.
That's a good idea.
Matter. And not saying, not taking nothing away from the Black Lives Matter, but for the brother that was on, like I said, I kind of came in on the last bit of the show, just kind of tuned in, but he was touching on some things that me and, you know, some of my conglomerates, you know, we discuss, you know, pretty much on a daily basis. So I appreciate that brother. I don't know his name. But
Clarence.
Yeah, I respect that.
Thank you.
I'll take your questions. I mean, I'll take your response off the air.
Well,
thank you, James.
You are so true in regards to our, as Black folks, patronizing our own businesses. Currently, our dollar goes out of our community immediately, and in the Jewish community, I think it turns over about 13 times that dollar. So the significance is great. We have to make an effort. I make an effort to purchase from Black businesses when those Black businesses are available. Now, you know the age-old myth about our businesses and you know, we're secondary and we're not that good, and we're, you know, you have to wait for things and we're inferior. You know, when you get a good Black business, it's the best. You know, whether, you know, it's a plumber, a carpenter, or a bakery, whatever business that you find that's Black, that's exceptional, you will patronize. So we have to make an effort as a people to overcome that stereotype that's been drilled in our heads. You know,
so true.
I work at right now I do part-time work at the sheriff's department, and we had to put all the files in alphabetical order, old files, a lot of files, all the slave names that exist with Black folks. We do not have the Jones, that they were all these names. Everybody that's listening, their last name was a slave owner's name. So it's very interesting that, you know, we don't have our own names, and I had to go through and alphabetize.
Explain it when you say that.
I'm saying the Washingtons had a plantation. The Joneses had a plantation. Right. The Smiths had a plantation.
Yeah.
Virginia, every blade of grass was a plantation at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You divide this state up, and at one time, the whole state was a plantation in terms of different ownerships.
Right.
So it's very interesting when I went through all those names and those files just to alphabetize them, I said, wow, they're all slave names. And these Black folks acquired those slave names in the past. So that's what we're mm-hmm. dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And that slave mentality sometimes doesn't allow us to buy from ourselves. And that really bugs me, because you hear these negative comments and these negative, you know, stereotypes that we know nothing about. We're just repeating some ignorance.
Right.
Now you about to get some folks to call in on you and hate on you because
that's automatic
mentality. See, right. Every time conservatives mention slave mentality, oh, you Uncle Tom, or oh, you as somebody called Scott Walker, KKK, but that's something that
we didn't call him that.
No,
we just asked him what he was doing in the struggle.
That's something that you know, we try to talk about and try to put out there that, you know, is not just geared to this group or to that group. No, we putting out policy and info to give you a choice to see what's best for you and your family. Because in this vast country, one size don't fit all. It doesn't. That's why we have, in Obama terms, 52 states.
Okay. All right. I can't even follow what you said or try to say. Let me say this. We are not trying to target you or the GOP. With the same question I'm asking you, I will ask to Hillary, what is she doing also in the struggle? So it's across the board. We're being fair across the board. And I do hope the Black Lives Matter, they have, I don't know if they've approached any of the Republicans yet, but I do know they have approached Hillary. They have approached Bernie Sanders. I hope they report,
they approach Bush one day.
But you're right. They're getting some momentum. Black Lives, they're getting some momentum. That's the only
they are.
And it's good.
And I hope they approach all of the presidential candidates, whether they're Republican or Democrat. Plain and simple. So don't feel like, you know, you are being targeted or your boy Scott Walker is being targeted. No, we are approaching everybody. Plain and simple.
That's our policy.
If there is a Republican that is willing to be in the struggle or to address the
inequality. We are a nation. We're addressing everyone. We're trying to make everyone's life
better. Did you hear what I just said? I said if we get a candidate that will address our issues of inequality. Well, you don't consider yourself black. You don't consider yourself black.
You keep saying our.
Okay. You know what? If you ever get pulled over or targeted.
I keep saying then we
maybe
as a nation.
Maybe you can identify what I'm saying.
You're saying our. I'm saying our nation.
Do you think you're actually recognized in this country? If you were to actually get pulled over, you think that you would get treated the same way a white person would get treated?
I've been pulled over, I never had a bad encounter with the police officer.
Keep on living.
Never in my life.
Keep on living. That's what I got to say to you.
Never in my life.
Keep on living.
Can I say this? A shameless plug. I would like for him to read my book, Leveling the Playing Field by the Syracuse Eight. The Ford was written by the great Jim Brown, and it is a scenario on the athletic history and the black struggle at Syracuse University over 100 years. Please get that book and read it, and let's come back and talk.
Give him a quick synopsis as to what the book is about so he can understand what you're talking about.
Hold on one thing. You're asking about specifically me. Have I dealt with it? Have I felt it? You're not asking.
You're saying we're one nation.
Yes, we are, and that's how we proceed. We don't specifically.
But
target.
We are not treated as one nation.
That's why we must reform the criminal justice system. Not appease one group, saying I'm gonna fix this for you. Then somebody else gonna say, well, what about us? Okay, now let's try to fix this for you. We got to fix this whole apparatus.
How are you going to fix the criminal justice system? I'm curious because you're talking to somebody been in it for 30 years.
Okay, so. All right. Let's just talk about the for-profit prison for the private prison. Those are for-profit prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they saying that it is essential to have the private prisons because the state, local, and the federal prisons are being overcrowded.
And overfunded.
So they must rely, do contracts with private prisons to send some of those people to the prison. Mm-hmm. Well, how about reform what some of these laws are that send people to prison? Like, if a father don't pay child support, he go to jail. Well, what is that doing for the community? One is taking a father away from his child. Two is taking a father out of the community. Three is taking funds and resources out of the community, which put more pressure on the state to take care of that family now. That's just one example of the for-profit private prison that we need to do away with by fixing the doing the criminal justice reform, because the whole prison system relies on folks. You know what I'm saying? Relies on the population.
Let me tell you something. It's not the prison system per se. America makes money off of crime. I'm retired because of crime.
Yep.
The state of Virginia pays over $100,000 per youth that's incarcerated. One single youth is over $100,000 to educate because he's under 18, to feed, to house, et cetera, et cetera. That's a lot of money. So, you know, I don't disagree with your comment about reforming the prison system. I just think you really have to sit and analyze and study this problem because it's complex, because it goes beyond just those folks that are in prison.
You're talking about everybody making money.
Yep, it is.
So look, America can fix what it wants to fix in a short period of time. When it was inflation with Jimmy Carter, we're going to fix it. They fixed it.
Okay.
You know, so
let me read the comment. Henry says Wendell is still in the field trying to get in the big house. Okay, you can respond to that in a minute. Let's go to Van on line one. Van, how are you, friend?
I'm doing great. That last comment kind of just makes me want to go, okay, thanks for having me on the show. The brother's clearly on the illusion of inclusion. Now, to defend a person or a group of people that represent a political party is one thing. But we see the track record, not over the last year, but over the last 2-3 decades, and it remains consistent, period. You want to bring up Scott Walker. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, Scott Walker has disbanded or done critical damage to unions, where unions were responsible for the middle class that was created post-World War II. The whole point behind a union was that the people who owned the companies that Joe Schmo worked for, they were not sharing in the profits, or they were not sharing the profits of the company as a whole. So unions had to be formed in order to force the owners of these companies to then share a bigger piece of the pie with the people who actually make his business profitable in the first place.
I wish I could comment on that right quick.
I wish you could too, but you lack the articulation and the information in order to come back against that, because what I've just said is true.
Okay,
and you know it.
Okay, let's just take that. Scott Walker, just like John Kasich.
Okay,
hold on, Dan.
We're going to take a break in a few minutes, and we have filling in for Coffee Black this week is King Fish Jr. And so hold on to your seats.
I will hold.
PhD, EdD, and USC.
was asked to talk to you about Black Lives Matter. Well, it's been brought to my attention that black folks keep electing white folks to represent them. It's not that black lives don't matter, but if you elect white folks, they're going to take care of white matter first. But what you need to do, if you want black lives to matter first, you have to start electing some black people. It's not that black lives don't matter, but white folks trying to get away from black folks. And y'all keep on electing them to represent you. So what's wrong with this picture? I'll tell you what's wrong with this picture. Y'all black folks just don't get it because you just ain't got it. So if you want black matters to be dealt with first, then you need to go out and elect some black people. Common sense tell you that. And then they will deal with black matters first. Now, I know some of you might be saying, well, we already got some black folks. Well, it's been brought to my attention that you got the wrong black folks. You have to elect black folks who think like black folks, and not black folks who want to be accepted by white folks. And then everything's going to work out all right, because all lives matter. So the moral of this episode is, Asians represent Asians, Jews represent Jews, and white folks represent white folks. But when it comes down to black folks, everybody represents black folks except black folks. Now, some of you ain't said, well, racism don't exist anymore. Racism is undercover. For example, just a couple weeks ago, I went into JCPenney's, and they had a great big sign on the door that said, big white sale. So I just turned around, walked out the door, because I'm waiting for the big black sale. So I went back in a couple weeks, and they had a sign that said, big red ticket sale. Them damn Indians get a break before we do. I'm Kingfish Jr., PhD, EDD, and you just seen. I'll see you next week. If you got a question you would like for Kingfish to answer, send all your inquiries to Tanya Free, and then she'll get them to me.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device,
on your computer,
in your ear, and interactive. It's new,
it's innovative,
and it's on your mobile device,
Android,
iPhone, iPad, and on your computer.
Take us wherever you go.
Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
I want to send a shout out to Lester, one of our listeners. Thank you so much. Okay, all of our listeners say hello. I say hello to, and all of our Tanya Free and Friends say hello to. Let me say this before we almost short on time, so I'm gonna go to the phones, and I got Van and Scotty.
Hello.
Van, go ahead.
Okay. When we last spoke, I believe the gentleman was talking about was about to do the typical conservative thing where they changed subjects from the subject we started with, which was not John Kasich. It was Scott Walker, who, among other things, has cut $250 million out of higher education funding in his state. But suddenly there is now $250 million that's supposed to be going to the Bucks basketball team, new stadium to be built. So that's taking taxpayer funds and then applying it to a private business, if I'm not mistaken. That would follow under corporate welfare, which seems to be a consistent pattern amongst amongst people in the Republican Party. And then you want to bring up the abortion issue, which is completely separate and apart from everything you've been talking about. Democrats are not wanting women to have abortions. Democrats won't want women to have the option that should they choose right. such a constitutional right to be able to exercise it. So let's not parse language too far. Again, argue the point, brother.
Wendell, give you a chance to respond. Scotty?
He's quiet.
Okay, thank you, Ben. We're going to go to Scotty because we're almost out of time. Scotty?
Thank you. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, yeah, this is a comment from Wendell, and again, I'm going to preface my comment like I said the last time I addressed something he said. I am not your antagonizer. I'm not calling in to antagonize you. But if Republicans want to do outreach to black community, you're going to have to do more than come up with a talking point where you're telling them that they're slaves of the Democratic Party. That's insulting, and it's an insult. It's an insult to people who are enslaved. Now, I was happy to hear you, brother, mention the problem with private prisons, because the last time that we spoke on this issue, I asked you to do some research on Scott Walker and his rise to power along being funded by private prisons. And
I sent that information over to Tanya the very next day.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and you mentioned that that's a problem. But Scott Walker, I would like to hear, well, is he doing a 180, an about face? I know Bernie Sanders just said when he goes back to Congress in September that he's going to introduce a bill to abolish all private prisons. And I'll be interested to see what Scott Walker and the other candidates have to say, which that question has not even been put to them. But, black people by nature are conservative in many different areas, okay? But the Republican Party has, not done proper outreach to us. Instead, they insult our intelligence. And, I'll just leave the comments like that. They're just going to have to do better if they want to attract black people to their party. Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty. We appreciate it. Let me read Trudy's comment. Trudy says, Kingfish speaks truth. Okay. Thank you, Trudy. Go ahead, Wendell. Give you a chance to respond before we run out of time.
Yes, the gentleman made the point of Scott Walker and the union issue down there. We have to understand that Scott Walker, he campaigned on it, and the people of Wisconsin didn't want the union. They didn't like what the union in Wisconsin was doing to them as an employee, and how their money were actually, taken away from them, to support things that they don't support, or else, your job would be lost. Scott Walker, campaigned on busting up the unions and giving people the freedom not to be, not to be taken advantage of by the unions, which was happening down there in Wisconsin. And when he did that, they tried to recall him in a recall election, where he won the recall election with a larger margin than the original election. Then he won re-election by the same margin. So those folks down in Wisconsin did not like the way that the union was being done, being run, and being handled. But again, as I was saying to John about John Kasich, he tried to do the same thing in Cleveland, but they shut him down because they like their unions down there in Ohio. So you got to be able to distinguish, the different states that has the unions and what their unions are doing, and what the people in those states that have the unions, how they feel about the union.
Okay, well, I've got a comment. John says, Wendell said you're lying. The teachers wanted and needed the union. Okay. That's one of the listeners. What would you say to that?
Well,
down there with the teachers and the unions, like other states, they have this thing called tenure. So if you're a teacher with tenure, then you have other benefits that another teacher doesn't have. And then you're talking about retirement. And then you're talking about who controls what your kids are being taught. So of course with the teachers union down there. So what happened was he was able to break that up to give parents more power over what it is the curriculum that their kids were being taught, and it allowed for the retirement system for the teachers to become more solvent. So you got to understand the particular policy and the politics of each individual case.
Okay, well, look, we almost out of time. Let me ask this one question. I know the second Republican debate is coming up. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's September the 16th, I believe. Now, we were talking during the break about Trump. Do you all think, let's talk about it for a minute, you think he's going to make it into the...
I think Donald Trump might be your next president.
We get what we deserve.
And I think that the black constituency may put him over. Now, we can discuss that in depth. We don't have time for that. But
I don't agree with you on that one.
Black folks elected George Wallace to his last
term.
Not
if Joe Biden gets into the race, which I hope he does.
Run, Joe, run. I want him. Run, Joe, run.
Well, I do think that Trump's going to make it out of the primary.
Yeah, I think he will, too.
Donald's going to make it out of the primary.
I think he will, too. What do you think? Your boy Scott Walker isn't. So you may as well go ahead and get your tissue and, you know. Deal with that reality.
We are over 400 days away from the general election.
Go ahead. Keep hope alive.
And,
go ahead. Say
you know,
it. Keep hope alive.
And as conservatives, we love what Donald Trump is doing because he's just he's another American.
Megyn Kelly tried to bury him during the first debate, and she couldn't do it.
And we accept and we love anybody who put themselves out there to be the leader of the free world. So I say, let's have at it. I don't believe that Donald Trump will make it out the primary, but the process
Donald
is
Trump
fun.
Is leading, and where is Scott Walker? Where is he? He's not even in the top three. Okay, that's what I thought.
Do y'all realize what he just said, that we're 400-something days away from the election, and we're doing all this talking? Do y'all ever think that may be by design, that we keep talking and talking, and we're over a year, year and a half away? What other country deals with an election starts the election process a year, 2 years away?
Right, and there's a lot of
that.
Drama, a lot of really just a lot of talking points. I think Scotty, you said it correctly, talking points on both sides. But blame us because we allow it, and the media, we allow it.
We need action.
Well, not only action, but we need to actually start talking or start putting out there what it is we want to hear. One thing I like about my listeners, they send me stuff that they want to talk about. We need to do the same thing with our politicians, you know, and to the media. Start turning the TV off when they start talking about Trump and all that hoopla. I think, like I said earlier, Trump is getting a lot of attention because he's saying a lot of things that's different from what both sides are saying. He's not following at any talking points. He's just being Trump.
Give me a design of a strategic plan, an action plan for our particular constituency that has a timetable that can work in a very short period of time. It's just general planning that people do all the time in terms of, you know, professionals, if you want to say that. You know, we all plan our own individual lives, but nevertheless, we need a long-range and short-range strategic plan that deals with action, measurements, results, et cetera, et cetera.
But also, too, talking points or issues that are talking about abortion is not a critical issue. It's not a critical issue.
When the number one cause of death in the black community is abortion.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's not. No.
Heart failure.
No, Wendell. You're making up stuff as you go along. And that's because we don't have time to look up facts. And I tell you what, next time you come on the show, we're going to talk about that and see what it is. And I don't know it's not. No. Mm-mm. No, all of the kids I see running around, no, it can't be abortion.
So can I say something?
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead now.
480 days before the election.
Yeah.
You know, the advantage of that is it does give the voters or us a chance to deal with the issues, to see how the candidates deal with the issues, and make a decision.
Right, and also, too, we're looking at the talking points opposed to looking at their record and see what they have done. It's shame on us if we do not see what Scott Walker has done as the governor. Not picking on Scott Walker, but also, too, look at Donald Trump and his track record as a business person and everything he's done, as well as any, I don't care, politician or business person. We need to go back and look at their track record. You know, the thing is, we don't look at a politician unless he's in the limelight for some sort of crime or some sort of incident or scandal or that sort of thing. Then we want to bring it to the forefront.
Do you think it takes 2 years for me to get an understanding of what your policies are, and I got to hear you for 2 years?
No. Yes.
Look,
it's important. No. It's important.
That's my point.
It's important for a nation of 300 million to know who won.
The campaign season is too long.
Well,
and
I tell you,
it's
John,
by design.
Hold that thought until next time. As always, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you, and of course, thanks to Wendell, Matt, Clarence, Marcus, Antoinette, Coffee Black, El Bravador, Roosevelt, and Mr. Friend, King Fish. And I'm telling you, friend, until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.